Well, that's why they call it a full 60-minute effort, right? Because if you fall asleep, even for, 5 minutes and 48 seconds, mayhem can ensue. And that is what happened to the Oilers tonight. They get absolutely demolished by one of the best teams in the National Hockey League. Not even close on the scoreboard. Welcome to Got Your Back, live stream edition. Post-game edition, Jason Strudwick is standing by, ready to break this game down. As always, we are coming at you from our Long Shot studio here in Sherwood Park. Experience the best indoor golf and sports bar in Edmonton and in Sherwood Park. So much more than just golf. Long Shots, a great pub experience as well. And the pod, as always, brought to you by our fabulous title sponsor, Sherwood Buick GMC. So, Streddy, we talked about their goal of Phil and company trying to sell 400 vehicles in a month. Like, that's insane. That's like, Phil comes up with these ideas and he's just like, yeah, let's see if we can do that. So they hit it hard. They did it, man. They got to 400 vehicles in a month. That's impressive, man.
I wish you'd show the same moxie and determination when it comes to stretching daily and going for a walk. If you did, you and Phil would be just having the greatest month of your life, the greatest March.
You know what, though, Struds? I got new motivation. I knew I was going to play 36 holes today. I got up, a little stretch, a little walk, felt good, buddy. Like, man, it's going to be the new me. Because if I want to golf in that simulator every day, I got to stretch.
Yeah. Yeah, it should be happening all the time, daily, like Brownie's arm workouts.
100%. Anyways, Phil and the crew meet their goal of 400 cars. So, look, they know what they're doing over there, right? They know how to treat clients. They know how to make it a streamlined process. They'll take great care of you. So if you're even thinking at all right now about a new or a used vehicle, highly recommend you go to 10 Auto Mall Road, just off Baseline Road, on the way into Sherwood Park, and see Phil and his great staff over there. www.gmcpod.com is the website. Struds, what will the plane ride home be like tonight? What will that feel like filing onto that plane after that mucky, mucky mess?
Yeah, it's a rough one. That's a rough one. You know, I you just feel sick because you knew it was a big game. If you're not on that team, it's a big game. You want to show well. But I'm not going to lie, Shager. From the outside here, I am thrilled without outcome. Thrilled.
How come?
This is why. The team has realized how every play counts. And we saw it. I could go through goal 1 through 5, how the Oilers hurt themselves in every situation. Now, Dallas was opportunistic, and they've got a chance they can score. But the Oilers, a lot of these are self-inflicted wounds, and it's a great reminder. So I'm thrilled. If I'm an Oilers fan, I'm skipping to work tomorrow morning. I got my lunch bag, my fancy popcorn, or my fancy coffee from the Starbucks.
Oilers fans to be that happy tomorrow. I'm happy. You do not expect that. People 100%. Driving in their car right now.
They should be.
Want to grab your throat through their phone and say,
they would never do that because they love me, but I know that I'm right. Guys, this is a great, great wake-up call. Great wake-up call for this team. They played a pretty good first period. There was one problem. It ended up in a goal in their net. They had multiple chances scoring that first period. Right. They didn't. And then 6 minutes they got away from the second period. Go through the goals. Let's just call the culprits out.
Let's go through the goals in our breakdown. I like the positive energy though that you're throwing at Oilers fan after a loss that has to have them feeling like. Listen to this clip from Chris Knobloch right now, and it'll give you a sense for the way the Oilers viewed this game.
For us to come in here was a challenge for us, and you know, we came up short. We thought it was a good test to see how good we are, and we still have some work to do to catch up to them.
Yes, they absolutely have some work to do. Let's get to it in our breakdown, brought to you by Adrenaline Diesel, Edmonton's heavy-duty diesel truck repair shop. They got a number of drop-in ready diesel engines available for purchase, installation, or conversion. They've also got a couple of restored trucks for sale, a 2018 Peterbilt, a 2010 International ProStar, and a 2015 Volvo VNL. Drop in to see these beauties at 13019 151st Street Northwest. You're being questioned. Brian Young says, wake up call at this time of the schedule. Feels late for Oiler fan to feel that way, Struds. Like, it feels late in the season to be needing wake up calls against. No, by the way, you need to play well against this really good team to be ready for the playoffs. Why do you need a wake up call?
because you're feeling good about your game. You think that you can take some chances and still get away with it. Five times we saw today, you can't take those chances. You're going to get burned against a team like Dallas. So I love it. The timing of this could not be better. I'm telling you, Oilers fans, I couldn't be happier. I haven't been this happy. I don't know, since they made, a third Rocky III. Like, I'm so excited. I'm just thrilled with it. I couldn't be happier. I'm telling you guys, usually I'm negative. Usually I'm Rob Brown grumpy. I'm thrilled at this because this is what they need. You cannot cheat the game and expect to win against Dallas Stars with a goalie. Ottinger's playing well. He's playing really well. You can't. And Pickard gave him a chance. I said he should play. They gave him a chance tonight to win. But you can't keep giving the chances to the other team and expect your goalie to bail you out every time.
Good that it's a big, ugly number, too, right? Like, for sure. If you play poorly and lose, you know, you get a couple in the end to make it look a little. Oh, this is nasty. This score humbling. Is nasty. The result, it's humbling. It's a kick in the pills. Yeah. Like, it's all of those things for this team. So I definitely understand where you're coming from. Let's get into some nitty-gritty detail here about all of the things that went wrong. Why don't we break down all of the goals, starting with the 1-0 goal and Leon Draisaitl getting sloppy with the puck.
Okay. Coming out of the zone. You got to make sure. You got to keep it to the wall. He tries to go through the middle. Picked off. Boom. 2-on-1. Goal. Thank you very much. Don't put that on Pickard. So I'm not blaming this game on Leon Draisaitl, but you're a veteran. You're one of the leaders of the team. Let's just make the safe play. Move it up. But play's a little bit risky. Bang. 1-0. But they make it through the first period with 1-0. They had their chances as well. Ottinger had a good first period.
But, I mean, clearly he learned his lesson, right? Because it didn't happen again later. We'll get to that in a minute. The 2-0 goal, Tyler Seguin on the power play. Nice little cross ice.
Yeah, got to take the passing seam away, right? Didn't shoulder check. Darnell Nurse didn't shoulder check. Pass goes behind you, between you and your netminder. Seguin gets it. So, you know, you got to know where the pass to the guy is. You got to shoulder check. Take that pass anyway. Wasn't able to take it away. That's a clean pass. No chance for a goalie. So now two goals, no chance for your goalies.
And two guys with letters on their sweater is the core mistakes on that. By the way, is that a situation where I know you don't love guys going down on the penalty kill, but I think that there are some spots where they're supposed to. Is that one of those spots where you got a right shot? I think it is. And it was, if Nurse sees that, that's when you're supposed to go down to, I think, completely cover that cross ice pass. I wonder if that's what's built into their system, if he was supposed to go down there.
Could have been. But what happens is that there was space between Pickard and Nurse. And that space can't be there because guess who finds that space? Tyler Seguin, right? Yeah. He finds that space in there and finds a little bit of open ice and gets it in there. So again, like I don't like to pick on the guys who are killing the penalty, but in that specific situation, you got the jobs take that pass lane away. Yeah. Boom. Doesn't get it done. Here we are.
3-0, Wyatt Johnson, an even strength goal right after an Oiler power play came up with nada, which, by the way, was a major issue tonight. Power play that just sapped momentum in a game where they desperately needed it. But again, 25 with the pinch, Struds. But there was something else I didn't like in that sequence. You know what it is?
What's that?
You see Evander Kane point to him like, go get it.
yeah.
I think he was directing traffic from the corner. Like, he did not pursue the puck. Okay. He wanted to fade back into the corner and let Nurse chase it.
Yeah. Well, let's start at the beginning of that whole conversation. So, number one, Wyatt Johnson, I don't think they wanted him in the penalty box for whatever reason. He comes out at the perfect time to get that opportunity. Two, understanding the clock, you got to understand the clock's ticking down. How much time is left in? Do I have my spidey senses? We're down 10 seconds or 5 seconds, whatever's less. Understanding that moment of where you're at. So you just can't pinch in that moment, especially knowing who's in the penalty box. Wyatt Johnson, a guy who was, I think he's either at or near 30 goals this year. So pretty impressive for him. So, like that one, I think really broke the Campbell's back. I think that was a really tough play there by the Oilers. But, you know, even if he had, and I'm saying Darnell had the perfect back support, that's not a 50-50 puck. There's not a 50-50 chance he's getting that puck. And that's, again, this, I'm trying to explain to Oilers fans, this is coming from a place for Darnell where he's trying to do too much. It's a big game. He's trying to do too much. In a big game, sometimes just backing off, accepting that 3-on-2 would have been a 4-on-2, probably don't get anything done, right? So all these things they're trying to do comes from a place of trying to do too much and make the difference. But against a team like Dallas, you don't have to make the difference. Just be solid. Your opportunities to make a difference will show up when the opportunity arises.
By the way, I want to back up to right after that 2-0 goal, right? 2-0, holy smokes, wake up call, right? Get going. 4 seconds later, Calvin Pickard had to make an unreal save after Brett Kulak puked one up in the corner. Like, they were brutal the next shift right after that 2-0 goal. And there was quite a bit of discussion about how much this game turned after the game, after that 2-0 goal. Let's keep going. 4-0, Jamie Benn and Leon Draisaitl. Man, tries to go through the air across ice in his own end.
So I've talked about Leon when he's standing still, throwing across ice, it's not successful. So he's at his best, and most players are, he's not the only one, when you're moving your feet and you're making plays. He's standing still, tries to make a pass. Players are just too good in this league. Whether it's the third, fourth, second, or first line, when you're standing still making plays, it makes it pretty easy. So he knows. He knew the first. You could see his reaction after the first goal. You could see his reaction after that fourth goal. That these he wears these ones. And he will, you know, recalibrate and add them. But standing still, making a pass, especially cross ice in your own zone, death wish. Death wish 4.
And then the 5-0 goal. Man, they came fast and furious. My printing is terrible because it was like I was still writing about the last goal and the next one was being scored. Sam Steele, local product, even strength goal. Now, is that's a turnover in the corner, right? Sam Carrick just kind of lost track of the puck.
Didn't move it quick enough.
Yeah.
And comes out of the corner really quick. And like, I'm not going to pile on the fifth goal in the 4-0 game. Like, it's not like if you're like, hey, we hold you to 4, we come back in the third.
Yeah. But, equal opportunity criticism here, no matter what the score.
And that's fair. But I guess my point is here, there's 4 goals in like 7 minutes. And this is the Oilers team we saw last year that would make a mistake and they would come again, 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 again. Right, they need to find a way after that second goal of Seguin's to just, okay, let's just smooth out the waters. Let's just ride this out. Maybe it's going 2-0. I remember I was watching a thing. Okay, halfway or there's, I don't know, like 5 minutes left in the second period. They can ride this out into the third period to be 2-0 with the firepower they have. They can get back in this, but then they make a mistake. They make another mistake. Then they make another mistake, and all of a sudden now it's 5-0. Zero chance on this goalie. You're coming back.
Seeing some stuff about the goaltending. I don't even want to talk about Calvin Pickard tonight other than to say he was excellent early and gave his team a chance to be in this game. The Oilers hit 3 posts in the first 25, 26 minutes of the game. Could have been a different game if one of those goes in, right? So bit unlucky there, Struds. But the way you counterbalance a little bit of bad luck on a night is through hard work and taking advantage of your opportunities. And the power play tonight, man, was just sucked the life out of him. Some nights, this power play that is so good on so many nights just kills momentum for this team. It's happened multiple times.
First off, give me names. Who's chirping Calvin Pickard? That guy played a really good game. Yeah. He made multiple saves to keep this team in it. Which goal would you like to have back? Maybe the first one. It's a 2-on-1. It kind of goes through him. Okay, I could maybe see that goal, but go through the other ones. Which one do you want him to stop that, you know, Skinner couldn't get or RJ? Like, it's not there. You know, it just can't happen. But the power play, I think I'm going to credit the Stars kill more than be negative.
They're good, man. They're sticks.
Their stick, that's what I was going to say. Their sticks were in the place, and they didn't always knock the puck away from the Oilers, but it was disruptive. Maybe I can't pass it because the stick's there, or they just got a little bit of it, and just the puck just wobbles over to whoever it is. The Oilers thrive on the ability to move the puck quickly on the tape and no issues. Well, tonight we saw it flicker or get knocked out or look out somewhere else. You know, how many times do we see Connor try to look to Leon, and it wasn't there? Or if he did pass it through, it got knocked down. So I think I'm going to give the credit to the Stars. So areas of improvement for the Oilers, understanding that they got to manage the puck perfectly against a good, really good team. 2, the power play, they've got to look at it a different way than just be a little bit more, move the puck quicker, but understand what Dallas is trying to do as well. Like there's moments of growth. So I go back to my original comments before everything even started. This is a huge opportunity for growth for the M2 owners and a resell or recalibration of what they're trying to do.
For sure. Let me ask you this. The one thing the Stars had based on their schedule was a little bit of time to prepare. And their penalty kill seemed like they knew what was coming before it came at them. You know, they didn't allow the cross seam pass to Draisaitl, right? They were tight on Nugent Hopkins on the wall, you know, sort of not allowing that off the boards back to Evan Bouchard play. Like they seemed really, really well prepared. And my submission to you, Streds, would be that good teams in the playoffs, you know, your power play, it's tough because it's every night against the same team and they scout you and they know it and they learn it and they know what to expect. This feels like some of what you come up against in the playoffs. You know, when your power play, it's like the other team is ready for it and they know what to expect. And I just didn't think they did a good job kind of finding new stuff and adjusting.
No, and so what if I'm the older staff, I'm looking at this power play and the penalty kill that was against it. What did they do well? How do we adjust? What do we do something differently? Like they had, it felt like Esa Lindell was out there the whole time on the penalty kills. And he is a very, if you're not familiar with him as an Oilers fan, he's a very, very good defenseman, really good defenseman. But understated, he doesn't do anything sexy. You never think, oh my God, that Ryan Rashog's one sexy man. We never think that with Esa Lindell. He is just, he's there. He does what he needs to do. Then he got on the other side, Chris Tanev, who's equally good. Then he got Heiskin out there. He got Faxa, who's out there. Like they just have guys who understand the job and get it done. So I think, you know, not to go back and try to be positive, but the Oilers staff, you know, Gullickson and company look to this power play, say, okay, what do we do? What can we do differently against a penalty kill like this? Because if I am, let's say, Vegas, I'm going to go combing over top of what they did tonight, Stars did tonight, and understand what I have to do. Or the Canucks, or whomever might be playing the Oilers, because the Stars did a really, really good job. And again, I credit the Stars with their job. They did PK-ish more than what the Oilers didn't do on their power play.
All right, time to get to the Weiss Johnson sound box, where they're offering $200 off their Fantech HEPA filter system. Be proactive to keep the air in your home clean. If we have another forest fire season like we have in recent years, the filtration system will take the smoke out of the air in your home, and it'll be very helpful for anybody that might have any respiratory issues. Contact him for this great deal by visiting Weiss-Johnson.com. Weiss Johnson, Weiss Johnson. Ryan Nugent Hopkins post game on the mayhem that ensued after the 2-0 goal.
Get that second one and we completely go off script, and that's not our game. That's not how we're going to win at any point in the season, especially with 9 games left against one of the best teams in the league. So it's disappointing, but we got a couple weeks here, a few weeks to figure that out, make sure that doesn't happen again, and this should be a good learning lesson for us.
Matthias Ekholm.
Because I thought tonight they played a game that we're going to see in the playoffs, and we're going to have to manage that a lot better.
That was poignant, Struds. I mean, they're going to see that caliber of quality in the playoffs, and they're going to have to manage that better. You know, they didn't bring Dallas is one of the best teams in the league, right? Let's just be very clear about that. This was a big-time measuring stick game for the Oilers, and they're playing their best hockey of the season. So you got a dynamite deep team playing its best hockey of the season that the Oilers were squaring themselves up against tonight. And the good news for them, I would say, Struds, is it's another one of those exact same games in 2 days against Colorado.
Yeah, there's no doubt that Dallas played an excellent game. But what Dallas is, they don't have the super, super high talent. Mm-hmm. They're deep, and there's no free shifts. They're coming at you shift after shift after shift. Like, you look at what is their third line? Like, Faxa, Steele, and Smith? That's a hard-working line. Yeah. That's not a fun line to play against. That's their
fourth line, bud. Ben Johnson and Stankoven, I think, is their third line.
Yeah, no, I said their fourth line. Yeah,
oh, that's did you? I thought you said their third line.
Well, either way, either one of them is your fourth line, because the other one's the third line. Like, it's they're deep. They're really, really deep. So you cannot take a shift off. Even if you're the top line, you can't take a shift off against any of those four lines because they're all, you know, equally dangerous to score some goals. Like, what's Faxa and Steele and Smith? Like, those guys have got a number of goals each, right? Then you kind of move up to Ben and Wyatt Johnson and Stankov, and like, they're a deep team they can create, but they all have really, really good sticks or sticks in the right lane all the time.
All right, let's get to the UCanU Services Relentless Player of the Night. I have a feeling that he was wearing fluorescent green and black tonight, whoever it might be. If you're looking for laborers for your business, UCanU Services can help. They train 18 to 25-year-olds, getting them ready, willing, and able to join the workforce. Check out their Road to Work program. It's a fantastic local charity. www.ucan.ca. Who gets the Kyle Dubé belt tonight, buddy?
Guys, Kyle, love this one. I'm going to go with a defenseman, and I mentioned already, Esa Lindell. I love this player. He led their team, if you don't want to count Mir Heiskin, in 5-on-5 play, and he was really good. And then you look at his penalty kill, over 6 minutes in penalty kill. Like, that is
– blocked six shots.
You know what that screams to me? That screams, I'm trusted by my coach. And, you know, it's funny. I coach a lot of young kids, and they never talk like, hey, I want to be a really good penalty killer when I get older. Well, for Esa Lindell, it works pretty well. He got, what did I say, 23 minutes tonight, Shogger? I think he got almost 24 minutes tonight.
23-54, four shots on net, blocked six shots.
But you're not painting pictures. We're not going to be singing songs about Esa Lindell, what he does. But his coach loves him. To the tune of 24 minutes tonight for that team. And I believe he led their team in ice time for very unsung reasons. I love it. And I love that guy as a D-man.
All right. Lots more to come on the podcast. When we come back, we'll take a look at some individuals on the Oilers, and maybe some areas that they need to sharpen up their game as we head towards the postseason. Still some work to be done, very, very clearly. We got Strutty's World, Take a Lap. Did you see what happened with the Rangers and Devils tonight? Woo! Old school. We're going to chat about that and then Ask Us Anything as well. Plenty ahead on the show. Stay tuned.
The fastest growing male grooming company on the planet just got even better. Backscape 2.0 with a revolutionary friction fit handle makes the razor easy to pop in and out to shave not only your back, but anywhere on your body. And those hard-to-reach spots just got even easier with the new ergonomic design. Backscape's new titanium shave head makes for a smoother, more comfortable shave that respects your skin. Backscape 2.0. Stay smooth, gentlemen.
Long Shots Golf is the destination for both golf enthusiasts and sports fans. Top-of-the-line TrackMan simulators provide a highly entertaining and accurate golf experience, while a full-service sports bar loaded with big screens and scratch kitchen make it a truly unique destination. They have locations in Sherwood Park and Edmonton. Experience the best indoor golf and sports bar in town. Visit longshots.ca. That's longshots with a Z.ca.
Apparently, we got some good action going on the Weis Johnson YouTube stream here. Steve, why don't you hop in, bud? How would you describe what's happening in the chat right now, man?
How's everybody doing? It's certainly as though this team is not where they are in the standings, and they're just, you know, the worst AHL team of all time. It's gone down quickly.
Just a quick look. Ryan Smith's nose says, oh, no, we suck again. Nate Hay says, Oiler podcast turns into Dallas praise session. Davin says, glad I went to the Rebels game instead of watching whatever the Oilers did tonight. Bob's your uncle says, Strutty, I say the Oilers all deserve root beer flavored cream puffs galore tonight.
No one played bad enough to have root beer.
No.
Or a cranberry sauce. I'm telling you, this is the perfect time for this game to happen. I couldn't be happier. I could not be happier if I'm an Oilers fan right now. I'm thrilled. I'm going to pick up a Dr. Dew Slurpee tomorrow. I'm just jacked, guys. Just trust me. Old Uncle Strutty, just trust him.
Well, we'll know by Friday, won't we? I mean, what happens Friday will be an indication of whether or not what you're saying right now took hold or made any sense.
So let's say they lose the game, but they manage a puck really well and they lose 2-1.
Wow, sure.
Have they, Have they learned anything? Yeah, they have. Yeah. Like I'm talking puck management and choices and not trying to, you know, I felt we saw a lot of what we saw in the playoffs last year. You know, you get scored and then you try to win the Stanley Cup the next shift. You don't need to. Sometimes you just have to get through that next shift and the next shift after that, the next shift to that. Four times in the second, they didn't do that. Four times. That's the message if I'm Coffee and Nobby.
Predictions coming in on the stream as well. EA says Vegas got better. Oilers stayed meh. Vegas will take it in five. Sorry.
Five.
A first round prediction.
Jeez.
Hey, it's understandable, man. It's trepidation that some Oilers fans.
Vegas looked good against Vancouver. Let's be honest. They did look really good.
For sure.
Is that because Vancouver's coming back to reality because they don't have their goalie and they're not as good as everyone thinks, or because Vegas is playing well?
They are going to get their goalie back here. Let's get the takeaways brought to you by Martin Motorsports. Spring. Oh, is it a nice one today? Excellent time to shop for a new boat. Visit Martin Motorsports to shop Supra and Mumba towboats, Berkshire, South Bay, Trifecta, and Sea-Doo Switch pontoons, Crestliner fishing boats, plus Cobalt and Regal Luxury. They got it all. They've got it all at Martin Motorsports. You got to go check them out. West Edmonton showroom is packed full. Head down to browse the different models or check them out online at martinmotorsports.ca. Struds, if I were to say to you to name an Oiler who they most need to get their game in order before the playoffs start. So of all of the guys, and there are some who are struggling, and I could have asked you this question before tonight too. It's not just about tonight, but who do you think most needs to get their game in order heading to the postseason here?
I would say they're 93 or 91.
I think those are both fair. Let's talk about Ryan Nugent-Hopkins for a minute. Major regression points-wise.
Yeah.
Now, last season was a bit of an outlier in terms of the level of production, and he spent a lot of the season this year on Connor McDavid's line. So, you know, not really sure where the point totals went. But what are you seeing in his game? How concerned are you with the drop-off in production versus, you know, maybe the overall sort of well-rounded game that he can bring when he's playing well?
I feel like a broken record, but I'll continue to say this message.
Okay.
He needs to get inside to in. I call it home plate, between the dots,
yeah,
and then between the goal and the top of the circle. So you need to get inside that area to get shots. Now, again, I would love for someone to tell me I'm wrong, that he's getting as many shots from that area as he did last year. I wouldn't believe it. He's got it. When he gets inside there and you're shooting from there, it's just easier to score. You know, it's just a fact. I still think he's pretty good. He's fine defensively. He's supporting his centerman, but you've got to be a threat, because the more of a threat he becomes to score, to create offense from those areas, the less pressure you'll find on Nuge. On number 97 and number 18. And specifically on the power play, how often do we see him shooting from in that area? Not very often. And you know, you broke it down very astutely that he's trying to throw the puck back on the power play. Teams see that. So instead, drive it down, get it lower, maybe try to find someone higher. Like, he has the skill to do it. And I'd love to sit down and review the tape if I'm his coach and review the tape with him, say, hey, look, you're becoming somewhat predictable in these areas. Let's try to shift it up and get back to what makes you a more unpredictable, dangerous player.
Pretty significant drop-off in goals. Like, if you think about the drop-off in goals between McDavid from last season and now Nugent-Hopkins, who had 37 from last season, that's pretty significant. Now, Zach Hyman obviously is picking up the slack and scoring a pile. But regardless of what the regular season has looked like goal-scoring-wise for McDavid or goal-scoring-wise for Nugent-Hopkins, they need to shift back into that goal-scoring mindset for the playoffs. You don't think so?
Oh, well, I didn't expect you to ask that question. It's actually got me stumped a little bit. Do they need
to score
more?
Well, think about it. Like, they can't be passing off their grade-A opportunities in the playoffs the way that they have been during the regular season. And we've talked about this before, and it's ridiculous. It's not even criticism for McDavid, because he's lighting it up, and he's, you know, this 100 assist thing is going to be off the charts. Yeah. But, you know, over an 82-game stretch, you can kind of get away with that. in a series against a team like Dallas, or you're in those grade A scoring opportunities, they got to find that sniper's mentality again. Both of these guys, frankly.
Okay, so let's we've got to separate the two. I believe it's a little bit different.
Yes.
Just sure. To double down on what I said with Nugent Hopkins, I don't feel like Nugent Hopkins is looking off really good chances to shoot in that home plate area. Mm-hmm. Do you disagree with me? Like, I don't think he's in a ton of shot looks from
I would
there.
Say he's not making plays to get to the middle where he would find those shots. So, yeah, so he gets the puck and he's got the opportunity to make a quick move to the middle and let it rip. Right. That's what he's got off that left side. And he's not really doing that very much.
Yeah. Like, I don't think he's looking off those shots. I really don't, because he's not getting into that area. So I think he has to first get in those areas and look off those shots.
We're saying the same thing. Yeah.
Yeah. We are. So he's got to get inside to get the puck in the inside to shoot the puck. If he's looking off those shots, I'd be like, yeah. So I don't think he's getting inside. Connor McDavid, Brownie and I had an epic battle. It was like two titans of industry going at it, where I said that Connor is looking off too many shots. And I will double down on that. I know Brownie somewhere is screaming, well, he's the greatest offensive player in the league. I get it. It doesn't mean that sometimes a low-level defenseman can't be right. And I like, if when I'm defending Connor, I want him, I don't want him getting into the middle and shooting pucks, because now I'm worried about him shooting and passing. So yes, I believe that Connor could look to shoot more often, and that'll open up the pass more often.
Fraud Chicken points out Nugent Hopkins had an 18% shooting percentage last season, down to 10, came back down to earth. This season, his career is just over 12. So he was a bit of an outlier year shooting-wise last season. Let's go to Evander Kane. I've said it all along, for the Oilers to get to where they want to go, Evander Kane needs to be a top six forward for them. I still believe that. I mean, Corey Perry on the second line tonight, and no disrespect to Corey Perry. It's too high in the lineup for him to start games. He needs to start down in the lineup, and on nights where he's having a great night, you can elevate him if you want to. They still need to find a consistent top six forward, and it has to be Evander Kane. He's got to get it figured out here. I don't know if he's going to, Struds, but if he doesn't, it's a problem.
Well, I would argue that today, and most of his recent games, he's involved.
Perry?
He's hitting. Getting shots.
Yeah, yeah. Yep.
So it's not like I feel like the coach is saying, we need you on that third line to give that third line more juice.
You know what he's been playing like, those Struds, during that time?
Yeah.
A third line player. Finishing his checks, you know, bringing energy. That's what third line players do. You know what top six forwards do? They get points.
I know, but goals. But it depends on who you're playing with too, right? Like, McLeod isn't distributing the puck like Leon is. That, let's just be clear with that. So,
yeah, fair.
You know, I think that we'll see a change in lines next game against Colorado, just like we'll see a change in the goaltender. Not that Pickard was the problem. I want to make that point very clear. But yeah, I hear what you're saying. But I don't feel like Kane has been on the bottom and on the third line, just not trying to move up. Like, I think he is trying to move up.
Yes, I agree.
So I think that, you know, we may see that happen. And I wonder if we'll even see a change at center in that third spot. Does Henrique go back there? Although I believe Connor or Leon likes playing with Henrique.
So now you drop Henrique out of it. So what do you got then?
Well, Fogel and Kane probably.
So Kane with Draisaitl and Fogel, you try the Kane Draisaitl thing again?
Well, yeah. I mean, well, who else is Kane going to play with? You're going to put him up with Nuge Connor and drop Nuge down?
Yeah, Nugent Hopkins, Draisaitl, and Henrique.
Because I don't like Hyman and Kane together on the line.
Yeah.
They're too similar. Someone has to help move the puck around, right? So but you're not moving Henrique off that line. Let's just call it as it is. Like, you're
Nugent Hopkins, McDavid, and now you're not splitting up McDavid and Hyman. That's not going to change.
No. So do you put Henrique up there? No, it's still the same issue. Like we're kind of talking. Okay, I'm going to put my foot down. This is what we're going to do. We're going to put Nuge with McDavid and Hyman, and then Kane, Henrique, and I just said I can't do that. Kane, Fogel,
I know,
Draisaitl.
Did you see between periods, Gene was doing some on-camera stuff, might have been with Stoff, and over his shoulder, you could see Chris Knobloch in the background. This is after the second. Okay. And after they just got stomped, and it looked like he had his notepad, and he's like writing like this, and then he kind of, he's looking. It's like he's trying to figure out what to write down to. Like, it's got to be a little bit befuddling. And don't get me wrong, he has answers. Like, this coach, he knows what buttons to push. I'm not saying he doesn't, but I just thought it was funny. It looked like he was he was having the same conversation in his head that we're having right now. What would you want to see next game? Give us your top two or three lines, and maybe we'll get to some of that and Ask Us Anything. It's not easy, Struds. Like,
yeah, but
Kane has to be with Draisaitl.
Well, I'd love to see those two together. Let's say this. I don't believe the Oilers lost this game because of not enough opportunities to score. They had their chances. Like, even Sam Carrick on the penalty kill, that's a scorable goal. A nice save, no doubt, but he just brings a little bit further, goes in. I felt that they lost this. Well, obviously, they didn't score enough goals, but they just gave up self-inflicted wounds. That is what they did last year against elite teams, specifically in the second round.
Going to be interesting. It'll be interesting to see what he didn't really make any notable line changes after the second period. Left his goalie in, just kind of let her buck, just sort of kept it going. Not much changes. Do you re-rack and bring back largely the same lines? I mean, this is a big game. This Colorado team, I mean, they're in a lot of ways, they're the standard. We know what happened the last time that they played against them. Let up again. Small mistake, Struds. The margin for error is so slim against these top caliber teams, man.
It is. It definitely is. And I don't want to downplay the significance of a loss on the road to Dallas tonight. But Dave,
You're dancing around happy. Of course, yeah, you're downplaying the significance of it. Okay, you're happy.
You know what? You're right. I'll acknowledge your correctness and say, yes, I am. I am downplaying. But that was 8 in a row for that team. And remember, the Oilers went on a heater of 17 games, and they didn't deserve to win every one of those games.
Very true.
Tonight, the first period was close. The second period, they had, 7 minutes of poor decision-making. Then the third, I just throw it out. You and I and whoever could have played on for the Oilers. Then no one, they're like, the game's over, knock. Just don't want to get hurt. Nothing bad's going to happen. It's really 6 minutes of bad hockey. But again, that is what we saw last year against Vegas. Small chunks of bad hockey. They couldn't put the lid on it and shut it down.
All right. That was Takeaways brought to you by Martin Motorsports. When we come back, we'll talk about the Donnybrook that we saw in New York tonight. That will go around the league with Taking a Lap, Struddy's World, and Ask Us Anything as well.
Spring is here, and if you're thinking of buying a new home during the housing market hot period, contacting a mortgage broker should be your first step. Maria Gallas with Maximal Mortgages can guide you with a stress-free experience. With access to dozens of different lenders, Maria's simplistic approach and expert advice will have you ready to put an offer in on your dream home. Take the stress out of your mortgage journey. Contact Maria Gallas at mortgagesbymaria.ca. That's mortgagesbymaria.ca.
The Brindley family has made it their mission to create the best tasting flavor rums on the planet, and they've knocked it out of the park with their Shipwreck rums. Brewed off the small Caribbean island of St. Kitts, their spiced rum is aged 4 years in bourbon barrels and infused with natural vanilla. Their Shipwreck vanilla is blended with natural Madagascar vanilla, giving it incredible smoothness. One sip and you'll agree, it truly is a vacation in a bottle. Available at your local liquor retailer. Please enjoy responsibly.
Time to take a couple of laps, brought to you by Backscape, the fastest growing male grooming company on the planet. Is even better now. That's Backscape 2.0, engineered for shaving your back. The new friction fit handle also allows you to snap the shaver in and out. You can touch up the rest of your body as well. And the new titanium shave head gives a smoother, more comfortable shave that respects your skin. We got a deal for you. GYB10 for 10% off advanced and deluxe 2.0 kits. That's BAKscape.com, promo code GYB10. Struds, it was old school, man. We do not see much of that anymore. 2 seconds into the game and all hell breaketh loose.
Yeah, 2 minutes or 2 seconds in the game, 5 fights, 4 players tossed out. They played 2 seconds. And obviously, it all circles around Calgary native Adam Rempe, who gets into the fight for what he did previously to New Jersey Devils. And it was a pretty good fight, but you know, you had just fight guys pairing off. John Marino, who knew he had it in him?
Yeah. Here are the matchups. Ding, 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 ding. Curtis Lazar, Jimmy VC. Ding, ding, ding. John Marino, Keandre Miller. Ding, ding, ding. Kevin Ball, Barkley Goodrow. Ding, ding, ding. Chris Tierney, Jacob Trouba, and Matt Rampe and Curtis McDermott, the two big fellas, went at it. And all five were fights. There was nobody dancing around. All five were fights. After the game, Travis Green said, probably none of that happens if Rempe had fought McDermott the last time around.
I'd agree with that. But I just, you know what, though? I love it, man. I absolutely love it. Like, I played in a lot of those battles, Rangers versus Islanders, Rangers versus Devils. Like, it's so good for the game. It's so good for hockey to have that anger in there. And, you know, to see the parade of four guys going on both teams off the ice and just done. You prepare all day, you eat, you sleep, you eat, you get ready, you stretch, 2 seconds and you fight. And I just love it. I absolutely love it. So, I think it's a great thing for hockey. No one got hurt. Great thing for hockey. And the anger is fantastic. I think it's great.
Can we discuss the feeling in the room when you, this has happened to me once. I was in one line brawl in junior. And we all ended up back in the room together. An old teammate of yours, Nolan Baumgartner, was in the same one. So there were three or four of us sitting in an empty locker room after just having gotten into a liney. And I have to say, it was kind of a cool feeling, man. You're sitting there, you all just like, you were just grinding it out together. The room is mostly quiet, and you're just sitting there, you know, a group of combatants all kind of hanging out.
It's a great feeling. Like, we just battled for our team, and it's galvanizing moment. Like, I know people don't want to hear it, but I absolutely love it. Like, and what I love the most is that, what's his name? Barkley Goodrow fought a D-man. So that doesn't just happen. You need to look over and say, hey, Ball, we're going.
Yeah.
We're going.
And there was another skater. There was another player that sort of skated towards him, and he went past him. Yeah. And he was like, oh.
Yeah, okay, I love him.
Oh, well, I guess I got to find somebody else.
You've predetermined that this is the guy I'm going to fight. Like, I think it's great.
Is etiquette in a scrap like that? Because there are not enough referees and linesmen
to
take care of everybody. So you got to be careful, because if you get the better of somebody, it could be bad.
Well, Keandre Miller put his guy, Marino, down.
Yeah.
And then he just stopped punching, right?
Well, I thought he took one shot when he was down and then stopped.
On the way down. But I would definitely be chirping and said, I could kick your ass even more, but you're down on the ice. Just remember that.
Yeah.
Remember who's your daddy. I'm your daddy. I would be chirping him like crazy.
Strutty approves the mayhem in Manhattan. Love it. What else?
Next up, you know, it's bad to be an Oilers fan tonight if you don't like the 5-0 loss, but it's also bad to be a Leafs fan because the Bolts, I watched probably two of those three periods, Leafs versus Bolts. And the defensive breakdown by the Leafs were significant. Significant. We saw centers make bad decisions. We saw defensemen make bad pinches. And so it's not just the Oilers fans are suffering tonight. The Leafs fans are suffering. The Bolts, they played a very mature, organized, and prepared game. And their goalie looks really good. Vasilevskiy looks really good after missing quite a long time with that injury. So, you think you're suffering, Oilers fans? This is a team below you in the standings that I thought really took them to the woodshed in Toronto tonight in the Bolts.
Yeah, and Tampa's got, I think, 8 wins in their last 10, right? So there's a, you know, there's a buffer there. Toronto's got the 4-point buffer on them in terms of the division. But you want to be playing well, and you want to be beating these teams, and you want to finish well. Like, these results near the end of the season against teams that are right hanging around you, you know, I think they mean something. I think they say something, you know, and yeah, you want to finish better than what they might hear. 5-4-1 in their last 10, the Leafs are, by the way.
Yeah. Well, to be fair, they're missing Marner, right? That does make a difference. But like, you know, like the Oilers, I think that they hurt themselves today in a lot of those opportunities. Not saying Dallas deserved to win, but I didn't think the Bolts kind of suffered or made it look pretty bad for those guys, the Leafs tonight.
Okay, that was Taking a Lap, brought to you by Backscape. When we come back, Strutty's World, and then Ask Us Anything. Plenty still ahead.
Okay, heroes, are you trying to tough it out through a sports or life injury right now? Trying to prove your mettle by grinding through, gritting your teeth? Well, Redefined Health is here to say it's time to come on in. At Redefined Health, they'll high-five you for your toughness and then get to work on helping you fix the problem. Helping athletes and heroes find better balance, performance, and injury prevention is at RedefinedHealth.com.
Winter is upon us, so why not make the best of it? Marmot Basin Ski Resort is where it's at. Ski half price every day, no blackout periods. Pick up your escape card for $99 and make winter fun more affordable. Half the price, all the powder. Get yours at www.skimarmot.com.
When you make a mistake, heads should roll. It's not right, and I'm here. Someone has to put their foot down. Now that I say it out loud, it does sound a little crazy.
Guy, I look good.
Early contender for gem of the night here, Struds. Millsy in the LMD says, Struddy gets an attaboy. Struddy is really bringing it tonight. And then in parentheses, where's this been all year?
What?
Yeah.
I'm bringing the juice tonight. Guys, I can't bring it every night as far as, like, the, you know, sometimes you have to break it down and say the team was, it was narrow margin or the close or not close. But tonight it was, they hurt themselves. And I'm just celebrating it because when they roll in Friday night, they're not going to hurt themselves again. I can't wait for this game Friday night.
It's going to be a beauty. Bob's your uncle says, Struddy needs some root beer flavored cough drops. He is hoarse after that violence triggered happy dance sing song.
Don't tell me I'm hoarse. I know my own throat. I know the organ. When it needs treatment, I'll give it to it.
So much there. Time now for Struddy's World, brought to you by DLR Vinyl Products. They got locations in Calgary and in Edmonton. Whether you're a homeowner, contractor, or builder, DLR is the most reliable source for high-quality vinyl fence. No painting, no staining, no sanding. It goes in, and you don't have to touch it. It looks great for years and years. Opened in 2005, not going anywhere. Great service, great North American-made products. Visit DLRVinylProducts.ca. Struds?
There's no doubt that most experts would agree that the Los Angeles Kings are a better first-round matchup than the Vegas Golden Knights. But you know what I say? Who cares? You've got to go through Vegas to kind of get rid of that issue, to beat them, to beat the defending champs. Then you move on to the next round. The Canucks, I'm guessing it'll probably be the Canucks, and that's fine. You want to beat the Canucks, let's just go on. Then you get to the next round. Dallas is a really good team. But I'll tell you what, I think it'd be sweeter for the Oilers if they have to beat Colorado. And Colorado's a really good team. I like the way they play. Goaltending, I'm not sold on it. Dallas is a really good goaltender. But I think, again, you want to beat the second last defending Stanley Cup champions to get to the Stanley Cup final. Then you get to there, you sort it out. But, you know, I guess the whole point of this is that you want to beat the guy who beat you to get to the next round. So I see fans, Oilers fans, oh, they shouldn't play them. They're getting this guy back, or Vegas is playing well. And yep, they are playing well. They've won three in a row. They're 7-2, 7-3 in their last 10 games. That's great. Let's play them and let's beat them and put them in a rearview mirror. So Oilers fans, it's time to buck up, feel good about yourselves, have a China White. Let's find Vegas in that first round. And you want to be on the beating end of Vegas instead of the losing end. Because if you beat them, going into Vancouver won't quite seem so hard.
Now, the other side of that would be a matchup against Los Angeles. There's a little more room for error if you're not finishing the regular season particularly strong. And we'll see what the Oilers do here down the stretch. But if you don't finish the season with your game fully intact, is a softer opponent maybe a little bit better to let you find your playoff footing, Struds?
If you don't go into the playoffs with your playoff game intact,
you're not going anywhere.
Does it really matter? You know, it's like when you and I hit the golf course and I stroke it 280, 290 off the first tee and you punted out there with your nine wood, 180. Game over. Game over. I'll like, I'll have a sea change. Bring it over right here.
You mean Shipwreck Coconut Rum. That's what we're, that would be the drink
chase
of choice.
I'll chase moment. Both. Yeah, I actually had a couple of those tonight. I'm not going to lie. I had a couple of Shipwreck Rum. The mango is delicious.
It's so good. I know it's so good. I had coconut last night in the sim. Oh, classy. I was playing around last night in the sim with a buddy and then played again today. I shot 85 in the sim today, Struts.
Oh, geez. That's amazing. I had a hat trick in NHL 2023. Are you going to redo my hockey DB as well?
I feel like 85 is 85, whether it's a video game or out at Belvedere.
I spanked you when it was raining out there. I think I was plus one for seven holes. You couldn't get off the course fast enough because you were like plus 20.
We got to clarify here. We played five or six holes together, and I will admit, you were pretty good. You're a mutter. You were good in the muck.
Grit.
But when it came down to actually playing 18 holes worth of golf, I mean, you know which way it swung, bud. You can make me say it. You're chirpy about golf for a guy who lost the main matchup that we've had.
I don't want to be negative towards a friend of yours and an acquaintance of mine. Jack Michael's stroke, his swing, made me a worse golfer. And I mean that with all due respect to your friend and my acquaintance.
He affected you that badly. You're soft. How can you not be affected? You're soft, Struds.
How can you not be affected by that kind of poor performance? Unreal swing. It's like he was trying to swing badly.
VA says, I knew Strutty was boozy this episode. Yes, the shipwreck got you softened up. Hey, got you softened up for
I'm not going to lie, guys. I go out of my way not to drink during the broadcast or before the podcast. But when I saw those goals pouring in, I poured myself a nice little mango shipwreck rum. Pretty deep one. But I enjoyed it.
Yeah, there it is. Evo.
I enjoyed every minute of it.
This segment, by the way, brought to you by DLR Vinyl Products. not by Shipwreck Rum, but we love all of our sponsors here. What do we got here on the stream? The Oilers' regular season game pace management that Chris works like magic has to change in the playoffs, which can be shootouts, especially early, for sure. Lots of good stuff coming in on the stream. So some line combinations from earlier on that Steve will grab too. So that Ask Us Anything segment is coming up. That was Strutty's World, brought to you by DLR Vinyl Products.
For over 60 years, Belvedere Golf and Country Club has been delivering a high-quality golf experience to Edmonton and area. This beautiful private club, located on Highway 21 just south of Sherwood Park, occupies 160 acres and presents a challenging yet adventurous 18-hole design. A beautiful clubhouse, fully stocked pro shop, and warm, friendly staff truly make it feel like you belong to something unique and special. Visit www.belvederegcc.com.
Bob's your uncle says Jack's stroke needs Strutty's organ treatment. Bob's your uncle bringing it. Let's give away a hat, shall we? So here's what you do. Struds is thinking of a trivia question as we speak. That's why he's biting his lower lip and looking confused. go to gybpod.com, then click on GYB swag up in the top right corner, and you can submit your answer to the trivia question that Struds is coming up with as we speak. And if you get it right, your name will go into a draw for a fabulous Got Your Back hat. And this comes to you courtesy from our good friends over at Mr. Dirt. Nope, at De Boer's. Whew, late one for me too.
Jeez.
Yeah, I my brains are a little fried after the 700 swings I had today. Scotty, Al, TJ, and the crew over at De Boer's will take great care of you. It's time to get the golf game into shape. Courses are getting set to open here in the next month or so, and we're looking forward to it. So have I given you enough time, Struds? Did I delay long enough for you to come up with a trivia question?
Oh, I got it.
For the people out there, bud.
I got it. I this player I love. I absolutely love him. And a friend of mine, the current coach of the Flames, told me about this player. What round was Jamie Benn drafted in?
Ooh, that's a quick one. That's a quick little hockey DB one. I like it, though. What round was Jamie Benn drafted in? Send your answer to us on our website. GYBpod.com is the website. Click on GYB swag. By the way, we do have hats for sale on the website as well. Don't need your credit card number. Just send us your order form and then we'll get payment from you after. But still got the blue with the orange fist. Few of those left. Lots of different variations. So if you want to buy a Got Your Back hat, if you don't manage to figure out be the winner of the trivia contest, you can pick up a hat for purchase online. Time now for Ask Us Anything, brought to you by the Shark of the Park, Renee Buchlan of Maxwell Devonshire Realty. Our husband, Mark, by the way, super jealous of the sim. He is a big golf guy, and Randine was taking pictures today in there. And I said, what are you doing? She's like, I'm sending these to Renee. So Renee got a flood of pictures sent to her today about what the garage sim looks like. And I think maybe the wheels have been greased for Mark to get one. Not sure. Anyways, Renee's all about amazing service for her clients. Buying a house is a big deal, right? You need someone you can trust. She's working 24/7 to either sell your home or help you find a new one. Give her a call, 780-994-0280. Good luck, Mark, in your quest for your garage fund. Steve?
Okay, so yeah, a lot of recommendations for lines. We got Nathan Jameson saying, can we see Kane and Enrique or McLeod with McDavid and Nuge and Hyman with Dry? I've been saying it for 3 weeks. Not enough depth in these lines. Can have Fogel, Brown, and McLeod or Enrique on the third line. Your thoughts there, Shocker?
Well, my immediate thought is that you don't pronounce the H in Adam Henrique's name.
I know, I'm sorry.
Is there a reason that we're doing that?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know why. I apologize.
Did you notice that too, Strokes?
I did, but I wouldn't be so reduced to bring it up. Maybe as a speech impediment, right?
13 years in French immersion.
Oh, that's why? Is that the way that it would be said en français?
I went to French immersion too. I call it Henry. Like, let's not let this guy off the hook here. Like, he's... he's not Gerard Depardieu, you know, like...
or Xavier Bourgault. Nate Hayes says 91-97-18, so he wants Evander Kane on the left side with McDavid and Hyman. Nugent Hopkins, Draisaitl, and McLeod. That's interesting. And then Warren Fogle on left with Henrique and Corey Perry. And then Dylan Holloway gets the call up from Nate Hayes with Sam Carrick and Raphael Lavoie. Wow. Nate Hayes digging down in the American Hockey League for some of that.
Yeah, you got to change everything. You know, I think they got to bring up other guys too, as many as they can.
Change out three or four defensemen as well, and just
a wholesale change.
Yeah, Troy says, why break up 91, 71, and 90? Make the knob blender stop. Make it stop.
The knob blender? I was trying to make that catch on.
Yeah,
I don't know.
It's okay.
He's searching for it.
It's not. It's going to go in the same place as the seaweed man, the dumpster.
Okay. Jay early in the stream said, speaking of you guys playing your video games, he said he was playing NHL on PlayStation earlier this evening and he created a team and they were playing the Oilers and the score was 1-0 after the first and scored 4 more in the second. The game ended 5-0. So he blames the loss on what happened to him playing NHL.
That is pretty coincidental. Like, that's something.
It is. Yeah.
That happens.
It
that's is. Kind of random.
Does he ever play the stock machine, a market game? Maybe he can give us a tip when he gets a good tip and we can go all in.
Pass it on.
Yeah. Not a bad idea.
You're bringing the heat here, Steve. Attaboy.
Reese asks, Struds, that 4-on-1 that happened, have you ever been the lone defender facing a 4-on-1 in the NHL?
Not that I can remember. 3-on-1s, I do remember. But 4-on-1 is a special one. But you got to remember the timing. Like, Wyatt Johnson couldn't get out of that box fast enough, right? He came flying out of that box and just set it up perfect for him to get that kind of, I don't want to call it backdoor tapping, but a chance to go upstairs. And that was a great shot. Like, that, not everyone in the Dallas Stars can make that shot.
Okay, we got Shane Matheson say, who gets into guys for discipline when the A's?
Interesting.
So tonight, Nurse is a misconduct. That can't happen. McDavid or Moore, a Perry. Downfall in playoffs is discipline, and it's the leaders. What do you think, Shogger?
Yeah, so we've talked about accountability here. So Let's discuss for a moment, Struds, if there were an opportunity for accountability in this game that was missed. So on the 1-0 goal, Leon Draisaitl turns the puck over, right? Things have been going reasonably well for the Oilers to that point.
Yeah.
I'm not sure if that's the time where you drop the hammer and, you know, skip over Draisaitl for a shift in a 1-0 game where it's kind of, you know. But then you could say, well, had he done that, maybe it would have lit a fire under him and that, you know, maybe you get more from him the rest of the way, or he certainly doesn't make that same mistake later. But the goals happened so fast in the second, just bang, 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 that I don't know. Did he miss an opportunity to send a signal that needed to be sent?
Your top players get more rope to make bad decisions or unfortunate plays than your weaker players. That is... It's always been that way. It'll always be that way. That's just the way it is. So I wonder if maybe after the third goal, a timeout might not have been in order, just to calm the guys down, right? Even a goalie change for a shift and then bring the other guy back out, right? Like anything to break the rhythm, because you could feel Dallas was coming.
Yeah.
But to sit a guy, I mean, to be fair, the play was outside of their blue line. It wasn't like the fourth goal where he'd standing still, yeah, tries to cross ice, sauce it. If that's the first goal, I would not have sat him in that moment.
And I wouldn't have either. And yeah, I've been a guy that said they need more, yeah, accountability, but you have to be careful about your timing.
Yeah.
Be careful about the message that's being sent. Be careful that there's an accumulation where the crescendo is you had no choice. And I don't think that's where the ebb and flow of it was with Leon, yeah, Draisaitl.
Good point.
Okay. So for Oilers, talking about Kane getting off that third line and moving up to the second. Sugar said this multiple times before, and it's still true today. You need Kane in your top six if you want to get productivity out of him. If you leave Kane on the third line, you're effectively writing him off, which means you are much thinner. You can't win a playoff round like that. So, yeah, thoughts in the playoffs about moving Kane up? Struts.
Well, yeah, I mean, I'd like to, but, we just went through a process trying to figure out what those lines look like. So let's just go through the process of elimination. Hyman plays with McDavid. I don't like Hyman and Kane together.
Okay, but just because Struds doesn't like Hyman and Kane together doesn't mean it just can't happen. Like, it might be the thing that has to happen, Struds.
In this case, I think I'm correct. So then you go down to Draisaitl, Kane, and then so who plays with Kane? Is it Fogle? I don't mind Fogle. I like Fogle beside Draisaitl.
So then what did Warren Fogle do to get bumped off that line? I'm still trying to figure it out.
Yeah, well, I think he's trying to bump up another line. I think he's trying to build someone else up. So yeah, like I understand what you're saying, but I think Perry is more suited for the bottom six. So it's kind of like you're doing a process of elimination. If we agree that Perry should be in the bottom six and Kane should be up in the top six, but you don't want Kane with Hyman, he has to be a Draisaitl. Then you got to find someone to play beside Draisaitl. That's probably Fogle. And then that leaves Henrik, McLeod, and Brown, probably is your third line. Probably then Seth Griffith. I'm sure there's some Seth Griffith calls to get him up here playing right now.
JL says Struds doesn't like cranberry sauce, so nobody can have it.
No, we shouldn't. Zoob's forgot it in his kitchen. He didn't bring it out. You're telling me someone noticed it? That's outrageous. That's John, like
the point is, just because you don't like something doesn't mean that it doesn't work or shouldn't be looked at.
No, I put salsa on my baked potatoes. Doesn't mean I'm right or wrong, but it's what I enjoy. But I know that to be right in that moment. But this is the way it is. Like this, does someone really think that Kane and Hyman together is the answer?
Evander Kane, Connor McDavid, Zach Hyman, Ryan Nugent-Hopkins, Leon Draisaitl, Adam Henrique. I know it's not ideal, but Evander Kane has to get going. He's got to get going. And Connor McDavid is the guy that can make that happen.
Not ideal is going to the beach and putting Vaseline on your face. That's not ideal. What you're talking about is way past that. That's putting Vaseline and then putting baby oil on top.
They were so good together in the playoffs a couple years ago, bud.
No, I'm talking about the third and fourth line after that.
Wow, you got Fogle, McLeod, whoever.
Perry or Brown.
It thins out for sure, but if Kane gets going, that top six is formidable. Oh, this has been painful. Let's do, Steve, let's do two more.
Okay. Two more. So Anthony's wondering if, Struts, you have been in a situation on a team where you're still looking for line chemistry, or your forwards were still looking for line chemistry at this point in the season.
Not that I can remember, but to be fair, we didn't have this quite a good team. I was in Vancouver. It was pretty clear. You know, it was like Morrison, Bertuzzi, Naslin, then the Sedins and Trent Clatt, and it kind of worked its way down. Like, it was pretty clear. Right now, they're still trying to sort it out for the Oilers. But, you know, they've got multiple options. They just have to figure out how it fits. But I don't know that tonight, again, I'm going to repeat myself. I don't feel like tonight was about the Oilers not scoring on Onger, although that didn't help the cause. I felt that the plays and decisions they made granted the Stars opportunities to score at the other end that, quite frankly, they shouldn't have. They did. How many goals do you think they really earned, the Stars? Not the first goal, the second goal. Well, I guess power play. So, yeah, we'll give them the second goal. Yeah. Third goal, probably not. Fourth goal, probably not. Mm. So right there, it's now 2-0 game. Maybe give it 3-0 with empty netter.
Right.
Three posts for the oil too.
Yeah. Yeah. Fair point.
Okay. Well, let's end with this. The Dark Wolf says Oilers are totally not ready for the playoffs. It's going to be embarrassing. I guess the question that comes out of that is we've seen a lot of different versions of the Oilers. We've seen a lot of different versions of Oilers players throughout this season. What are you guys expecting to see in round one? What version of the team are you honestly expecting to see in round one? We'll start with you, Shagar.
I think they're going to be good. I think Stuart Skinner is going to be good. I think McDavid and Draisaitl will be the best that we've seen them this year. And I think they're going to be really good. I think they're going to be formidable. They have scars. They have wounds. And understand, folks, this is the grind part of the season, and as disappointing as this loss is going to feel for an Oiler fan, the Oilers are an excellent team, and they have been for a while, and they're not perfect, and I understand lamenting the holes in their roster. They're a good team, and they know how to play well, and they've got superstar players that are going to bring it in the playoffs, so they're not going to embarrass themselves. They're going to be competitive. I don't know how far they're going to go, Struds, but This is not panic. There should be no panic in Oiler fan after this game tonight. Absolutely not.
I don't get it.
This is still a very good team.
I don't get it. I'm sorry. I do not get it. You've seen the Oilers have great stretches of long play, of playing well, of doing the right things. Tonight they didn't. It's the ultimate wake-up call that we have to play the right way. When we, saying them collectively, they need to play the right way for them to have success in the playoffs. And they gifted too many goals tonight to a good team. So I completely disagree. I don't know how far they can go either, but I know they've got a better version of themselves in there. And that was a game tonight that they should have been going into the third period 1-1 or down 2-0. Instead, it was 5-0. It was over.
It was over. Let's do our gem of the night as we wrap up. I'm going to go with some rock solid honesty from both Matthias Ekholm and from Chris Knobloch. Here are two very poignant clips. If you wonder, that wasn't it. If you wonder how the Oilers process a loss like this, here it is.
Because I thought tonight they played a game that we're going to see in the playoffs, and we're going to have to manage that a lot better.
Well, tonight wasn't who we are. We're a much better hockey team than that, and we'll learn from it, and we'll be better for it. And for us to come in here was a challenge for us, and you know, we came up short. We thought it was a good test to see how good we are, and we still have some work to do to catch up to them.
Spitting some pretty honest truth, both those guys, Struds.
Yeah, I'll spit some truth as well. My gem of the night is when you told everyone how you got an 85 in a grad sim later, where there was perfect conditions. You probably took about 3 or 4 mulligans, and honestly, I don't think translates from there onto the course live. So congratulations. You also, I guess you won, but you lost by believing your game is better than it actually is.
Oh, it's on this summer, bud. It's on this summer. I can't wait. I can't wait to. I'm going to be practicing every day.
Your pro bag. You got a pro golfer's bag. I'm not sure why that is, but
that great big heavy thing. Yeah, yeah. Because I never carry, because it's always either on a cart or a trolley. That's right. You do the two shoulder harness carry. You just straight up carry the whole thing, eh?
Yeah, intimidation. It works. Just like I don't have a 3-wood in my bag, although I got one last summer, but still.
I swapped out the 5-iron for a 7-wood, by the way.
Oh, God.
I'm officially a senior citizen.
Officially.
All right. Good job tonight, my friend. Thank you.
See you guys.
Steve, thanks, buddy. Good work, my friend. Thanks to all of you for hopping in on the stream. Thanks for listening to the podcast. Big game on Friday. Bounce back game. Will it be for the Oilers? We shall see. We'll drop a post-game pod after that. Till then, take care, everyone.